Good morning, church. My name's Ruben. Ooh, that's a good catch, hey? For those who don't know me, I'm the young adults pastor here. It's such a privilege to be part of the team here at Rediscover Church, Newton Abbot. I got asked to speak today. We're kind of having a little bit of a break from our discipleship series, where Phil's going to continue back next week, I think, or Phil or Esther, as someone is. But we're just having this pause in the moment, and when I get given this kind of chance where Esther says, hey, preach on whatever you want, it's kind of great, but it's kind of bad. I get the whole Bible to choose from. So I was kind of just praying, thinking about, okay, what is it we're trying to communicate as a church? What is it as a team that we're kind of challenging you guys to do? And I don't know, some of you might have been here for your first time. If you are, welcome. We're so glad you're here. But for those that maybe joined us for the last 5 months, which is crazy, We've kind of poked you a little bit. We've kind of prodded you a little bit, especially those that might have just had this kind of Sunday faith. Like, this is the challenge that we really think God is kind of giving us as a church to kind of break people out of not having this Sunday faith, but to have a faith that's Monday through to Saturday as well. What does it look like to be day-to-day imitators of God? And there's a thing that we do as churches. We tend to do really, really good at slamming your calendars. Like, churches tend to be really, really good at filling up your diaries. Then we go, hey, like, you guys, let's all be Christians together. Like, we'll come and we'll do really nice things on a Sunday morning. And we love our life groups. We're so grateful for Ollie and some of the other life group leaders that are doing that we can be together in our homes midweek. We think they're really, really important. And we just launched our soup project on Friday. It was great to see like a team of like 7 of us go out there and really start being active in our faith. Like, what does it mean to bring a physical need, but then as Jesus modeled, like to meet a spiritual need that's there as well. And if you're not careful, you kind of get so caught up doing church, being church, that you forget to go out. That you forget to kind of do what we're meant to do. And I'm going to tackle this a little bit of being everyday imitators of God. And some of you, like you work really hard. Like maybe 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and then you're very, very busy. And your parents, you've got children, and they've got their calendars, they've got like schoolwork, they've got clubs that they've got to get to. And then you've got your own hobbies as well. So like life just gets really busy. And then when we're trying to be church and like do church within this tight little community, there just seems to be no time. And I just want to challenge you guys today, and forgive me, team, as I say this, like, you don't have to come to everything that we put on. Like it's great to be in community and to be a part of this. And what we believe here, these Sundays are where we can gather. We can be a little bit weird. We can believe that we're spiritual people and actually like act in that. But it's the going out that really matters. And I kind of give you permission. If you're being the church out there, like you can miss a Sunday. And be in community, whatever that looks like. But you don't have to join the soup project on a Friday. Like you don't have to join some of our young adults team and what we're doing. But our challenge is what we're going to be accountable for as a team is for you guys to act as Christians in your everyday life, not just perform when you come on a Sunday or when you come to our weekly events. So with that in mind is this kind of setup for what I'm going to bring. I'm bringing 3 different images that as Paul kind of talks in Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6 about these images of how every day we can be imitators of Christ. So he starts off in chapter 5, I've got the verse on the screen. It says, right at the start, how he starts this train of thought. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And he continues that thought. There's little bits in between. Ephesians 5, 8, it says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then there's bits in between. He kind of talks about how it is to live in your old ways, what we all used to do. Now you're in the light. What does it mean to walk in the light? And it says, look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. if you want to look at that in your own time, it gives you a great list of kind of what it means to walk in the light and what it means to walk in the darkness. But the three things, how we are imitators of God, is to walk in love, to walk in light, and to walk in wisdom. So Paul's saying, hey, I challenge you, church in Ephesus, you guys need to start doing that. Don't act how you used to, but act now in the light. And then he continues that thought, and I'm going to pick off my main focus here in chapter 22. No, in verse 22, sorry, chapter 5, verse 22. And it's these three kind of representations of what it means to then walk in the light, to how we can practically walk in love, walk in light, and walk in wisdom. And the three that I want to talk about is this husbands and wives. It's children and parents. It directly mentions fathers, but I think it's children and parents. And it's bond servants and masters, which in our day, no one really has those kind of things. The best way to kind of explain that now is employees and bosses. So it's, okay, this challenge of walk in the light, be imitators of God in your day to day. And he continues that thought and says, here's some ways that you might do it. The first one is husbands and wives. And I'm going to go into more detail on this, but in overall, it's saying that wives, you guys get to look like the church. And husbands, you guys get to look like Christ. And the first thing it says is that wives need to submit and respect, and like the church does, to Christ. That's the role that you get to play. That in marriage, as two become one, it's not just like, oh, so you get a cheaper mortgage. It's not so you get like a few benefits here and there. Like if that's what you signed up for, like great. But when we look at the Bible and we see what it says, it's something so divine. It's something that's so holy, so precious. And it's a great thing that you can sign up to every day be an imitator of God. And for husbands, it's a simple command of love. But it is two different ways. It's saying like Christ, you need to love. And it's loving your wife as if they were your own body. And this might be relevant for some of you here. Some of you might have a desire to be a husband or a wife. That's great. Some of you might not. That's also so great. And the next two are definitely ways that you can do this. So for wives and husbands, let's read that kind of first verse that goes on for wives. And it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. So we want to get to this next slide. This first verse, it's quite a, I feel like I need to take it with a bit of delicacy. And I want to really look at this first verse because it's been twisted throughout the church. And it might have been twisted, and you might be sitting here with direct impact of how this verse has been twisted to manipulate. And I can't just like skim over this topic without really addressing the manipulation that has happened around this. And we've got a great team here, Leanne and Esther and the women's groups there. If that has happened to you, we're not here to condemn you, we're here to support you. We want to bring the true light of the gospel of the Bible into action. That through that manipulation, it's twisted something that's so precious, that's so sacred, that's so holy, that's a way that every day we look like Christ and the church. So first of all, I'm going to go into a little bit more about what that submission might look like. But it says, submit like the church in everything. That's what verse 24 is kind of saying. It's saying, not just the bits that you like to. It's not that necessarily if your husband is like the smartest guy, or maybe you might be a bit better in some things, but it's by taking this role of the church, that this submission looks like everything. And it's to your own husband. It's one man. As I said, some people have twisted this. This isn't saying all women need to submit to all men. And this idea of this submission, as I said, I'm going to talk a bit more about. It's not a hierarchy kind of thing. It's not kind of saying that the men are up here and women are up here. It's the complete opposite. That they are one body. They are one representation. As I said, it's been twisted, and that's not what this passage is saying. But it's saying, wives, you get to join in this role. That you get to represent and look like the church. And this word as, it's quite interesting as you look into the Greek, it's quite a confusing word sometimes. And there's kind of two interpretations. It kind of means both. So saying, wives, submit to your own husbands so that you submit to the Lord. In the way that you love, you honor, you respect is the word that Paul kind of summarizes it with. The way that you love, you respect your husband, that's showing worship to God. And it's also that like. In the same way the church does this to Jesus, wives, you take part in that role to do that with your husband. And it's for godly things. As I said, this verse, I couldn't just skim past it because some people have twisted it to justify abuse, to justify evil things that happen in marriages. And I'm here to say that's not what this is meaning. That is not okay. No one can use that verse to justify those things. It's saying, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord for the godly things in the same way that you submit to God. So this kind of overview, this short section, if we get to the next slide, please, the overview of what it is that wives, how do you look like the church? It's the submit in this respect. And the definition of the submission is to yield to another person's will and or authority. And this, as I said, it's not this twisted earthly kind of thing that we look at of abusing power and looking forward. As I'm going to mention later on with all of this that we all equal under God. We're all, as these husbands and wives become one body, that it's looking at this godly authority that's been given in this scenario with that one man, and it looks like respect. It looks like admiration when Paul sums up these whole kind of nine verses. He says it all in one sentence. He says respect. That's the word that we're kind of looking for. And this is the crazy part. This is what I want to kind of release you, church, into, and particularly in this section about wives. In 1 Peter 1-2, it says that they may, so by wives doing this, that they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. This is talking about husbands that are unbelievers. This is the kind of depth, the power that is given in this marriage thing. And when you obey God, when you're an everyday imitator of Christ, it's saying, wives, even if your husband doesn't believe, by the way that you hold yourself, by the way that you look and you control your life, that even your husband who doesn't believe may be won over. And this is the power that I want to release you guys with. This is the imagery that we can create here in our everydays. And this next kind of section is looking a little bit more about husbands. And it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So this is the command, as I made a little bit of a joke, that it's a simple command. That as we look into this, and we get the next slide up, please, Ollie, that the first kind of command is to love. And then the direction is to love like Christ. And it's this thing that it's a sacrifice. That it's to give up everything, to die daily for your wife. Husbands, this is what it's saying. That it's a complete thing that Jesus himself, God incarnate, came down from heaven, humbled himself as a baby to be persecuted, to be beaten, to be abandoned and held on a cross. That as we remembered in communion today, that we are seen as sanctified, that we're cleansed, that we're in splendor represented to be holy and blameless. It's quite a high standard for the husband. And this sanctifying and cleansing, it says it's by the washing of water with the word. And the things that I kind of think it's representing is it's baptism, as we get to celebrate this evening. It's such a great thing that death and that new life in Christ, and it's with the Holy Spirit and the word of God. And it's, husbands, you're not going to have the same authority to like sanctify and cleanse like Jesus does. That's his blood. But what I think it's saying with the washing of water, with the word, is it's that reminder that through your lifestyle, through that one ship, that you can remind of what happens in baptism, that we're raised to life, new, that it can be reminders. Your life can be a reminder to your wife in particular through the word of God as well. And it's this idea of presenting, Jesus presenting his bride in splendor. That she is seen as holy, without blemish. She is blameless and she is spotless. So husbands, this is the command. That it's to lay down your life. That your wife is seen as holy, without blemish. That she is in splendor glorified. As Jesus did, taking the things that he maybe didn't deserve. So that they may be seen in that light. And then the second love that kind of gets mentioned, if we can get to the next slide, is the same way. Husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So that next slide that is going to come up here, it's looking at love like your body. So husbands, it's love like Christ, that full-on sacrifice, and it's loving your wife as if she is one because she is one. That it says that two are unified and become one. And no one hates their own body, but actually they nourish it. That they cherish their own body. And I looked at the definitions of these things, looking in the Greek and then also just the English definitions, is nourishes, is substance necessary for growth, health, and good condition. So husbands, this is how you love your wives, as if they were your own body. It's giving them growth, doing everything to give them growth and health, that they are seen in good condition. It's a bit objective in that context, but it's to see them growing, to see them constantly uplifted, that you're doing everything, you're providing them with everything that they need to flourish. It's to cherish them, to protect them, to care for them, to hold dear to them. And it talks about then this unity that I'm going to read out verse 31. And it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And it's this unity that holding fast, that being united. If we get back to that other side, sorry, Ollie. Get back to that being held fast, being united and joined together, that the two become one. And in that summary of verse 33, that they are to love as if they were themselves. This beautiful image, and actually we'll get to that now, that verse, please, Ollie. It says, the mystery is profound. And I'm saying it refers to Christ and the church. This is marriage. It refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of them love his wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. What a beautiful image that I want to leave you with if you're in that marriage. That husbands, what does it mean to say, hey, look how I love my wife. Look how I serve my life and daily lay down on it. That is what Jesus did for his church. That the gospel speaks through your marriage and wives. What does it look like that you say, hey, look how I love, respect, and serve my husband. And that is how us as the church act towards our Savior. This is the beautiful image that we are called to do, that we can be everyday imitators of God. And this is one of the three analogies, that this beautiful representation, that the best way to evangelize, the best way to disciple, by saying, hey, look at my marriage. Look how I love and serve my wife. And that points to Jesus. Look how I love and serve my husband. And this is how the church acts towards our Savior, Jesus. And this next kind of analogy is children and parents. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So this next slide, I've kind of got that summary. It says, children, you've got to obey. And it's again, obey in the things of the Lord, the things of God. It's an obedience that's in line with God's will. And it's to honor your parents. And there's a nice little kind of little like thing that Paul adds in. It says, like, if you do this, like, you'll live a long life and it will go well for you. Those things are good. Like, that's really nice that if you do that, like, that's a great promise that the Bible kind of gives us. But back to this kind of imagery, it's kind of saying that children, as you honor your parents, as you obey them, and it's particularly in the Greek and the original text, I think it's talking about children that are at home. So like young children still living with their parents, but I think it still can apply to all of us that are in this room that are children. I don't know what your family relationships look like, but the way that you obey, the way that you honor your father and a mother, that you can say, hey, the reason I do that, the reason I don't actually go against them, the reason I don't sneak out the back and go away to those parties, the reason I actually honor and love my parents, the way that I do that, actually, it's because I honor God. Like, looking at the way that I treat my parents, that's the same way that I obey and I honor God. And then this is a challenge for the parents. It's saying, don't provoke them in anger. It's saying, don't stir up, don't start like jabbing them in the side and starting to provoke them, to tease them a little bit, to bring them to a bit of anger. But actually, in the ways of the Lord, you discipline and you instruct. What does that look like to bring people into your family model? Hey, that's why we do home groups. That's why we're so keen on people stepping up to responsibility of inviting people into their homes. Where yes, we study the Bible, we pray together, and those things are great. But what does it look like to invite someone into your home and say, look at the way I discipline my child. How I don't stir them up in anger, but actually just instruct them along the side. And then look at how my children obey me and they honor me. And if you come into our house, this is the reflection of Christ. And this is the call for the Christians that I'm trying to poke at. They're like, it's great that you're here this morning on a Sunday. And if you're a part of our life group, if you're not, get involved, please. But this is the challenge. What does it look like to open up our homes? To bring people in and say, look at the way I act. And this shows you the God that I serve. And on this next kind of analogy, it's Ephesians 6, verse 5 to 9. It says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Whether he is a bondservant or free, masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening. Knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. So on this next slide, it's got those two challenges. For the bondservants, as I said, it looks like employees. That most of you in here are probably employed by someone or for someone, and maybe some of you are bosses and have other people that are your, on this earth, as I'll talk about in a minute, like have a bit of responsibility over. And it says, employees, obey your masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as if they were Christ himself. What a beautiful analogy that we can join in to be everyday imitators of God, that as we get ready and go to work, that we go, hey, I'm going to serve Jesus today. And yes, I'm going to serve Jesus in everything I do, but particularly by the way I serve my master, I'm going to serve Jesus that exact same way. With fear and trembling and with a sincere heart. What does it look like to go into your workplace and someone say, hey, our boss is awful. He doesn't treat us very well at all. But you obey him still, you honor him still with a really sincere heart. And you go, yeah, like if I'm honest, I'm not his biggest fan. Like I don't do that, like I don't do that for him. Like I do it because of my faith. Like maybe you know I'm a Christian. I do that because the way that I treat my boss, see, that's how I treat my Savior. Like that's how I treat my King. I don't see him as that. But the way that I act, in the way that I hold myself, that's what it looks like. And it's really important that it's not for people, it's for God. It's not for eye service. I'm not like obeying my boss so I can maybe get a bit more on my paycheck, or maybe get a few extra annual leave days, or maybe get that promotion that I'm really desperate for. But actually, it's for God. That all of this, it bypasses that and you go straight for God. And it's a nice little promise. It says you'll get it back. That's really great. And we don't do those things for that. Actually, it's the witness. And I think it probably, like, you might get it back in this life. I don't really think that's what it means. Like, I think it probably means when we get to heaven. That then when we look at God and we all come face to face, one day he say, I saw the way that you worked so hard. That you served your boss as if he were me. I'm going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And for those that are masters, that are bosses, that maybe have this earthly authority that's been given, it's a challenge here. It says, stop threatening. Like, don't use this like hierarchy that might be established here on earth as a way to abuse it. But actually, humble yourself. Know that you both serve God. And when you both come before God as equal people, he won't look at the paychecks, he won't look at those things, that he'll say there's no partiality. There's no favoritism here among my people. So what does it look like as a boss? That when you're in those conversations and you're talking about the teams that you maybe oversee, and you go, hey, I'm not going to threaten them, I'm going to bring them up way, and look at how I treat my employees. And yeah, like in this earth, like it might look like I've got some hierarchy or some sort of extra responsibility. But the reason I treat them as equal, the reason I don't treat them as less, the reason I'm not harsh and firm towards them is actually it's because of my faith. Like it's not really because I'm a good person, but like actually it's because there's no partiality. So for the God that I serve and the God that they serve, we're going to come under equal. Then I'm going to be held accountable for the things that I do. So if we just want to go back to that very first slide, that home slide, about everyday imitators of God. And in that summary, if the band maybe want to come up as well, what does it look like as a church to actually make an impact on Newton Abbott? What does it look like as a church to not just bring some people in on a Sunday and say, aren't we great? And to eat in our homes and get deeper in that, but the true discipleship, the true evangelism, it happens by how we work. It happens by husbands and wives. It happens by godly marriages. That you can say as a husband, it's a hard challenge. The look at how I treat my wife, and that is the same way that Jesus treats us. That you don't need to describe the gospel, you just point. And as wives, you get that role of the church. What does it look like to say, look how I treat my husband with respect. And that is how we as the church, we honor God. What does it look like for children and parents? That you can bring someone into your home, you say, look at the relationship I have with my children. Look how I bring them up in the ways of the Lord by discipline and guidance. That I'm not harsh to provoke them. But this is the same way that my God, our God, does to us. And the children to obey. The children to respect, to honor. And say, this is how I honor God. Through honoring my parents. Even when I don't agree. And what does it look like when we go to our workplaces? Whether we're bosses or employees, to serve with fear and trembling, a sincere heart as if they were Christ. What does it look like when you wake up tomorrow and go to work? Not to go to a dead-end job that you're tired of and trying to get out of, maybe a job that you enjoy that's great. But what does it look like to go, the way that I serve Jesus, I'm going to serve this business, this boss, my fellow colleagues. And this is the challenge that I want to leave you. And you can wrestle with these things, go back to that chapter 5. It tells you some of the ways that we'll act. But this is what we want to be, church, a body on mission. That we don't want to be Christians that just pat ourselves in the back and say, aren't we great? But this, I want to release you into the biggest ministry that you can do. So to be a child that obeys, an employee that serves well, a husband and a wife that honors God. There's so many different ways that you can do that. And Lord, I just want to pray that we want to be people of you, God. That we want to be everyday imitators of you. Help us, God, in any marriage that is in this room. Help them love and serve each other, Lord. Help the husbands to look like Christ and the wives to look like the church, Lord, and glorify your name in everything that they do. In all the family dynamics, good and bad, Lord, what does it look like to have spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers, to have our actual fathers and our actual mothers, God? To discipline each other, to guide each other, Lord. What does it look like to open up our homes, Lord? Let these homes be the biggest ministries, Lord Jesus. And as we all go to work in the coming days, Lord, let us serve and work as if it were to you. Help us, Holy Spirit. We can't do it without you, God.